Maybe you can relate to feeling buried under the worries, to-dos, and should-have-beens. That feeling seems to pair well with the sense that you're constantly clawing your way out or just going through the motions. Well, as we gathered on Easter, it seemed important to talk about zombies. You have to admit there's a little crossover between zombies and the story of Jesus, right? If nothing else, you're not the only one who's felt buried. This is the Fabric Podcast. Here's Ian McConnell.
Good morning, everybody. It's so fun to hear the buzz in the room. My name is Ian McConnell. I'm the new lead pastor at Fabric. Happy Easter. Wow, what a day. So I'm really grateful to Melissa who kind of named in the welcome the varied experience of Easter and kind of just acknowledging that we all come to this day with a whole lot of experience, maybe a whole variety of understandings or assumptions of what the story means and what it is. And it's like we oftentimes focus on the bigness of the story and kind of get a highlight reel. But today, what I really wanted to talk about is looking at the story of Easter through the lens of real people who were experiencing it. So rather than talking about, like, what happened on the cross and the meaning of the resurrection or whatever, like, that, there's a lot of opinion on that, and you can read and listen to a whole bunch of that every other year. But this year, what we're going to do is talk about through the lens of the disciples who were there, the real people who were, like, buddies with this guy who died and was dead and then wasn't. Maybe, right? So, but before we dive into the story, I think it would be a lot more fun if we did it with some help. So I'm going to invite, if there are any kids that want to come up and meet me and Heidi over here on the mat. I see some kids coming up. We're going to act out the story of what happened on Easter. Come up to this foam mat over here. This is going to be a room. We're all going to be in this house together, okay? So come on, pack it in. If you feel more comfortable bringing one of your adults with you, you can do that too. Kids at heart are welcome. Come on up. Great. I'm so glad we have some helpers. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Hi.
You made it. Welcome. Okay. So, you know, so there's a lot of characters in this, like, in this Easter story, right? Have you ever heard of Mary? Yeah, Mary Magdalene. She was a friend of Jesus. I need somebody or some buddies to be Mary. Who wants to be Mary? It was like really early, like dark in the morning. They hadn't even, like most people probably weren't even awake. And Mary was awake. And she went to, from the house that all the friends were staying at, and she went to the tomb where Jesus' body was. So Mary's going to go to the tomb and peek in. You can see there was supposed to be a rock over here covering the entrance to the tomb, but guess what happened? It wasn't there. Do you see anything?
Wait, let's do a little shocked face here.
Oh my gosh. Good job. That was a great shocked face. Okay, so you looked in here. Did you see Jesus?
Wait, let's look again. Here we go. Looks pretty empty.
Pretty empty. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So how would you feel if you were in the dark in the early morning and you were at the tomb and something wasn't quite right? How would you feel about that?
Confused,
yeah.
Do you have a feeling?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would
yeah.
you feel surprised? Would yeah. you feel maybe a little nervous and scared? Yeah. All those feelings. She was feeling those feelings, so guess what she did? She didn't even go in. She ran back to the house.
Go,
go, go, go, go, go, go. She ran to the house and said, hey, friends. Mary, can you say, hey, friends?
Hey, friends.
Come check it out.
Come check it out.
So two friends. Everybody else is probably still asleep, but we need a couple other friends. Doesn't need to be two. Can be a bunch. Come on up. Let's go. Run, 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 run. All the way over to the tomb. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, here we go. Nice.
Wait.
Got a few holdouts. Yeah,
wow.
You stay here. Great.
Yeah.
Good job. Okay, so they got in. Now,
right.
This is where...
Here we go.
This is where... Now, You're going to come in the tomb, but you're going to have to get on your hands and knees and crawl under, okay? Come in. We're going to be right here.
Come
through.
All the way through.
Can you come through? Sig,
let's move.
Sig and Raleigh, come here.
Here they come.
Come check it out. We're in the tomb now. Do you see?
Here they come. Come all the way through. Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, it's a very strange thing to go under a plant box.
We call this the dramatic pause.
That's right. Okay, now that some of you are in here.
Maybe some of them stayed on the outside.
Yeah, probably some of them stayed out there.
Yeah, it's good. Crowded in the tomb.
What do you see? Is Jesus in here?
No.
Well, what? Okay, so Mary is going to stay here. Where's our Mary? Mary. Great. Okay, Mary, you stay here. Everyone else is going to go out.
Here we go. Back up.
Again, you're going to go out. Yeah. And then everybody get up, run in place, because this is a long run. We're getting our miles in this morning, okay? Okay, so we're going to go back to the house. Great. Because there's not really a whole lot to do over there now. Mary told you he wasn't there. You went and looked. She was right. Turns out. Okay, so then Mary's there, but Mary's still crying. Oh, this is so sad. Oh, how are you feeling?
I'm very sad.
Very sad. Are you confused too?
Yep.
Oh, it's so confusing. So then something happened. An angel appeared. Who wants to be an angel? Cookie, angel, come here. Great. Okay, yeah, come on over. Anybody with their hand up, come on over. Okay, so you're going to come on over. Everybody, all the angels, you say, Mary, what's wrong?
Mary, what's wrong?
Why are you crying?
Why are you crying?
And Mary, through her tears, says,
because
they took Jesus.
Jesus is gone.
And I don't know where they put him.
I don't know where they put him.
And the angels said, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
And then Mary went back, and the angels disappeared and somehow ended up at the house. Okay, so everybody goes back to the house. Run. Okay, so now we're back at the house.
Hey, Mary.
Oh, yeah, Mary, you can come
up
here.
Don't go too far.
Don't go too far, yeah. So then Mary says, hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
An angel was at the tomb. How would you? Yeah, great. I love this. This is great. And no. So we got one no. Because, you know, how could that be? Thomas. Okay, so then, while they're all in this room, we might need a couple adults. Can a couple adults, especially the long-armed people, come in? You're going to be in the house because, oh my gosh, what is happening? This story is so strange, isn't it? This is such a weird thing. You woke up in the morning, did not expect any of this. Okay, great. So we have a room. Are you feeling cramped in here?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. You're not feeling cramped yet? All right. Walls, get smaller. Here we go. Okay. And do you know what happened next? So then, out of nowhere, because they're locked in the room, they're feeling, like, scared because they don't know why is it that the angel came and, like, Jesus' body isn't there, but guess who showed up in the room with them? Jesus! And he said, hey, peace be with you. Don't be afraid. And he took a big, deep breath with him. Can you take a big, deep breath? And they felt really excited. Excited faces. Yeah. And you know what Jesus said to them? He said, you have everything you need to grow, to love. Hi. To go out into the world and be love in the world. And so he said, you don't need to be in here and feel afraid or feel buried by these feelings of being nervous or scared or anything like that, right? And so eventually the walls can go back now. Eventually they did go back out in the world. And that is kind of the story of Easter. Can you give yourselves a round of applause? Great job.
Don't go yet. I think one of the things that we're all going to wonder today is what things make us feel scared or that are really hard to do. And that's when we kind of start to feel that overwhelm or feeling buried. And then I wonder what that breath of peace and that breath of hope, if we can wonder what or who makes me feel brave to try or to grow.
And while there, can we give the kids a round of applause for helping tell that story? So on these big holidays, these big stories, we tell the stories in these long chunks, and we kind of just take away maybe the thing that's most magnificent about it, or we take away from it the most unfamiliar, the most scary, the most unbelievable. Sometimes I walk away from the Easter story and I go, "What? Is that possible?" You know, like that. There's a part of me that's kind of like, this, I don't know if I believe in all this, right? But my guess is that if we start thinking about those disciples locked up in a room because they're afraid of what's out there, right? If we think about that part of the story, there's something really relatable in that story. There's a lot, maybe, that we feel afraid about. There's a lot that we feel buried about. We all come into this space with perhaps feeling overwhelmed, feelings of being buried. Maybe it's grief or a sense of loss. For the disciples, I know, like a loss of direction, the loss of a friend. Maybe they're feeling like if they went out of the room that they would be recognized by some dangerous people who thought, you know, these people were a part of what Jesus was up to, maybe we'd get in trouble too, right? So have you ever felt buried? Like, show of hands, buried, overwhelmed, feeling like just the overwhelm of the world is just kind of weighing on you? I know I have too. When I'm scrolling on my phone and reading headlines and seeing pictures of what's happening in the world, or when I think about, like, broken relationships or things that haven't quite gone the way that I would have planned or anticipated or hoped for in my life, that kind of feels, I end up feeling the weight on my shoulders and in my guts about that, that there's kind of this buried, overwhelmed feeling. Grief about loved ones who have gone, or even future grief. I've sometimes felt burdened by things that even haven't even happened yet. That's fun. It's a fun little trick our brains play on us. The other thing, like, that I feel buried by sometimes are these massive expectations that I feel others might have of me, or even that I, probably more often, expectations that I put on myself that maybe aren't even fair to me, right? Do you do that to yourself? I do kind of all the time. So there's a lot that we can end up feeling buried by, either things that happen to us, and we look at the dirt getting piled on us, and we feel the weight of that, and we feel the overwhelm of that, or it happens in our own selves. We can bury ourselves, feel kind of the heaviness of that. So I feel like in my own life, when I focus my gaze on the dirt that I feel is burying me, if I'm really just focused in on the stuff that is making me feel overwhelmed and it's too much for one person to handle, and the stuff that's happening in the world, and, you know, like war and famine and climate crisis and all of it, I end up feeling like I need to just kind of put my nose down to the grindstone, plow through, forge ahead. I feel like I have to just, like, put my nose down and put my head down and plow through, right? And I end up feeling like I'm just trying to keep up and do it all. And somehow when I do that, when I try to be all things and do all things and manage it and plow through and just get from today till tomorrow, I end up kind of being a smaller version of myself. I end up feeling locked in a room and in a way that I've done to myself, right? Before you know it, you can end up sort of moving through the world a little bit like, you guessed it, a zombie, right? Were you wondering when I was going to actually talk about zombies? I think zombies are a really cool storytelling device. Now, we don't actually have zombies here. Okay, we already talked about it. Zombies aren't real, but they're a really interesting character in stories. They're a really kind of cool character in stories to help us understand ourselves a little bit. Like, zombies move through the world in a way. They're like, they're not living, but they're not dead, right? Zombies are, they're not really people, but they're definitely not people. Like, there's this kind of in-betweenness of zombies, and they just sort of wander through the world, a little aimless, a little wordless. They're kind of like in relationship insofar as they're like moving as a horde sometimes, but they're not really like talking to each other, really in community. They're just sort of bumping elbows with each other, and I don't know. You've seen the movies, maybe. I think when we use all of our energy looking at the dirt and feeling buried, of course we're going to be a little bit zombie-like, right? Like, that's just going to happen. I don't know. I think that being a zombie, like having these kind of coping mechanisms of just getting through, doing what it takes to get from today till the end of the day and into tomorrow, even if I'm going to be a little bit like a aimless, grunty zombie, that can be okay. But if it becomes sort of our default way of being in the world, this zombieing, I think we end up finding that we're not really dead, but we're not really living either. The truly scary thing might not actually be being buried, but actually the scarier thing might be the ways that we avoid being buried. The scariest thing might not be death, but the ways that we avoid looking at death or experiencing little deaths in our life. And so this Easter story and what happens because of it, through the lens of the disciples all locked in the room, helps us consider the move away from merely being undead toward really actually living. Today, at least for me, the Easter story helps us recognize that those feelings of being overwhelmed and buried are only a part of the story, but they're not the entirety or the ending of the story. I think we see that we're not just zombies. We don't have to be just zombies, but in fact, we are seeds. We aren't just zombies, we can be seeds. The hope for me is that we all have a strong enough sense of community in our lives, in our neighborhoods and families and places of work and faith communities and here at Fabric and like a strong enough sense of community in those places, and then also have a strong enough trust, or dare I say faith, to believe that we are growing and that we have everything we need for growth. And I think if we acknowledge that the heaviness of the piling dirt on our shoulders, on our bodies, if we acknowledge that heaviness, but not, if we can get beyond just feeling and being consumed by it and just being buried and have like feeling like, oh, I'm buried and I want to escape. I'm buried, I got to fight my way out of this. I'm buried and I don't like it. I'm buried and I'm hurting myself or others, right? There's all sorts of responses we have to being buried. But if we can see that we're not actually consumed and shift our gaze from the dirt to ourselves as seeds, I think we get to experience life as growing things, as growing people. We can see ourselves as seeds. We might even, I wonder if we could even find ourselves re-examining our relationship to the dirt, to the stuff that we feel overwhelmed by, the stuff that we feel buried by. There's a beautiful quote by a poet, a Greek poet, Dinos Christianopoulos. He was a gay poet in the 1960s, 70s, I think is mostly when he was writing. And in 1978, as he was kind of reflecting on the experience of having been ostracized from community and driven out from his community for being who he was out loud and publicly, but then having some success as a poet, and people are reading him and engaging in his art, and and all that. He wrote in one of his books a quote that, and he says, what didn't you do to bury me? But you forgot that I was a seed. And it's a quote that over time has been used over and over by people who feel marginalized or oppressed or feel buried, feel overwhelmed by kind of external forces that are trying to keep them small and keep them quiet. You tried to bury us, but you forgot that we are seeds. I think there's something important and beautiful that happens for us in periods of kind of buried dormancy. Rather than feeling that frantic need to escape the dirt and plow forward on our own, or put in effort to try harder, be better, be more, I think we can find ourselves shifting our gaze from that which buries and overwhelms us. I think we can do that. And focus on ourselves as seeds and end up putting down roots and experiencing places of new growth and new life. We might even learn to recognize the parts of us that we've locked in a room on our own. We might start to see the ways that we've locked ourselves up in fear of what's out there. And hear to us, too, we might hear this voice saying, peace. Take a big deep breath. You have everything you need hardwired inside of you to grow, to be love out in the world, to show the world a better way of being, so that we're not just buried, so that we're not just zombies moving through the neighborhood, but we are seeds. We don't need to just be zombies. We don't need to just feel buried and overwhelmed. But actually, there's something about who we are embedded in ourselves that we can grow, that we are growing, whether we like it or not. Like, who you are is just beautiful and wonderful. And for us, I think the Easter story is a great reminder of that.
Thanks for listening. May this simply be the start of the conversation. Reach out if you want help connecting with a group virtually or in the Twin Cities, and tag @FabricMPLS with your own thoughts on social media. You can also stay up to date and find other resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.